you have a King James Bible, we're going to read in unison one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse number 10. If you see someone who does not have a Bible, please share with them your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. And let's read, shall we? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I'm going to talk to you this morning about being prepared. Being prepared. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the folks that are here. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. They could have chosen to be somewhere else today. They decide on purpose to be here. I don't believe it's an accident. I think it's divine appointment that you allow them to be here to hear this sermon. And I pray to your God, I'll do my best to get out of the way and to preach what you've laid on my heart and what I've written here. And dear Holy Spirit of God, I ask you to speak to people's hearts, love them, draw them to thee. Lord, convict us of whatever we need to be convicted of, please. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for your mercy. Meet with us, dear Holy Spirit of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I believe most of life is made up in preparation. And I believe the reason why most lives are messed up is because you see a lack of preparation in people's lives. Not that they do not have good intentions. Nobody wants to be a failure. Nobody starts out in life and says, you know what, I want to fail in life. No, everybody wants to do something or be something, accomplish something, strive for something. But it's a lack of preparation to reach the end goal that is really at fault. Viscount Montgomery said, the commander must decide how he will fight the battle before it begins. He must then decide who he will use the military effort at his disposal to force the battle to swing the way he wishes it to go. He must make the enemy dance to his tune from the beginning and not vice versa. I see too many believers, they live their lives ad hoc, meaning only when something happens or something pops up, then you react to it because you don't have a plan and you're not prepared to do anything in life. You just deal from circumstance to circumstance, from thing to thing, and that's how most people live their lives. They have not prepared their life. They have no plan. Paul Bryant, you know, Bear Coach Bryant, he says, it's not the will to win that matters. Everyone has that. It's the will to prepare to win that matters. Everybody wants to win. That's your will. But you don't have the will to prepare to win, and so you lose or you fail. Thane Yost said, the will to win is worthless if you do not have the will to prepare. Paul Coffey, an NHL player, he says, nobody's a natural. You work hard to get good and then work to get better. It's hard to stay on top. Benjamin Franklin said, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. He said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. We try to fix things after they blow up instead of trying to prepare for them not to blow up. If we had taken measures beforehand, we wouldn't have the after effects of the blow up. Michelangelo said, if the people knew how hard I had to work to gain my mastery, it wouldn't seem wonderful at all. William Shakespeare said, all things are ready if our minds be so. John F. Kennedy said, the time to repair the roof is when the sun is shining. But you only think about it when it's raining. He didn't say that. I just said that. That's true. That's the only time you think about the roof leaking is when it's leaking because it's raining outside. Abraham Lincoln said, listen to me good, this is a great quote. He said, if I had 8 hours to chop down a tree, I spend six sharpening my axe. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10:10, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. You ever try to cut something down with a blade that's dull? You're wasting your time because you didn't prepare the blade. That's how life is. Life is not as hard as you think it is. You're making it hard because you're not prepared for it. You didn't plan for it. So when something happens in your life that you didn't prepare for, or you didn't listen to advice, you didn't listen to counsel, you didn't listen to the word of God, now you're going to pay 10 times more, or 20 times more, or 100 times more, when you could have avoided that circumstance. Somebody said, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. Abraham Lincoln said, I will prepare, and someday my chance will come. You ought to read how many times Abraham Lincoln was defeated as he ran for office. I just wish he lost the last time, too. I think it was a piano player. The guy said this. He said, if I miss a day of practice, I know it. If I miss 2 days, my manager knows it. If I miss 3 days, my audience knows it. George Patton, General Patton said, prepare for the unknown by studying how others in the past have coped with the unforeseeable and the unpredictable. Of course, you're too busy with those video stupid games and television set to be concerned about preparing for life. We wonder why our marriages fall apart. We wonder why our children are ruined. We wonder why our health is crumbling. We wonder why we are in debt and bankrupt. We can't afford to pay the bills. God is not going to sprinkle dust on us, magic dust, and say, poof, now everything's going to be all right. He's given us a book to prepare. Dale Carnegie said, first ask yourself, what is the worst that can happen? Then prepare to accept it. Then proceed to improve on the worst. Joe Paterno said, the will to win is important, but the will to prepare is vital. Publius Flavius said, in time of peace, prepare for war. George Eliot said, whether happiness may come or not, one should try and prepare oneself to do without it. Thomas Edison said, unfortunately, there seems to be far more opportunity out there than ability. We should remember that good fortune often happens when opportunity meets with preparation. Are you prepared? Or are you taking everything ad hoc as they come in life? Well, the right kind of weddings are prepared, ladies and gentlemen. As I said earlier, Kathy, my wife, and Athanasia, for the last couple months, man, did nothing. It was a whirlwind in our house. You just had to duck or get out of the way, amen? Well, it takes a lot of preparation for a wedding. But it takes preparation to conduct anything that's worthy of your preparation. In order to be prepared, you need a plan ahead. You need to think. So that's why people end up with too many regrets, having made too many mistakes, having made too many errors and too many sins and too many miscalculations, because we didn't sit down and think and plan ahead. We didn't ask God for wisdom. We did not read the Word of God because we didn't think we had to read the Word of God. We thought we were smarter than God. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows the end from the beginning. And you would think the one that we ought to go to for help, who knows all, is the one that we neglect to go to. So our lives are ruined. Marriages are ruined. Children are spoiled. Goals are not met. Desires are famished. Jobs are unfulfilled. And it goes on and on. Success or failure depends on doing right and planning ahead. Prepare for the inevitable. Prepare for the unforeseen. Prepare for the unknown. How do you do that? By reading the Word of God and finding out what Jesus said. Being in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Spending time in the prayer closet with God and asking for wisdom that you all need, that we all need. And if you do that through the Holy Spirit of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, God will lead us into all truth, the Bible says. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why. I do know why. People are making a big thing about not wanting to have tests done in schools no more. Look, I'm against Common Core. It's rotten to the core. But the reason why people don't want to have tests is because they don't want to show how miserable failures they are.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, that is the only honest way to decide whether you've learned anything.
Right.
Are you listening to me good? People don't want to take, so I'm nervous taking exams. Well, everybody is. But the more prepared you are for a test and the more prepared you are for an exam, the easier you have to pass, ladies and gentlemen. But now we want to do away with tests because we want to dumb everybody down.
Amen.
Teaching is too hard now. Kids can't sit still. They can't learn. They're a bunch of animals they're a bunch of animals in schools. Hey, to be a court reporter, guess what? You have to pass a state test. You have to pass I passed a national test and a state test. I took the state test in New Jersey. At that time, it was like 79 or whatever it was. No, I can't remember what year it was. 78 or 79. 79, I think I passed it. New Jersey, I took the test, was the hardest. New Jersey and California, at that time, were the hardest state tests to pass. And most of the people just couldn't pass. I think I had to take it once or twice or three times. I don't remember right now, but I finally passed it. Amen. I was not mad at the test taker for giving me a test so I can get a job as a court reporter. But yet, we get mad at God, and we get mad at the preacher, we get mad at authority for giving us tests to show us that we're unprepared. Whether you're a doctor or you're a lawyer, you better hope to God these people take tests and pass them. Whether you're a mason or an electrician, you better hope to God these people pass tests. What's wrong with tests? It proves whether you're learning anything, and it proves how much you've learned. I want a grade. I want a 95 When I came home from school with a report card and I got a C, I was jumping for joy, man. When my wife came home with an A minus, she was crying all the way home. I wasn't saved at the time. My wife was saved, but she's a lot smarter than I am, amen. But I'm trying to catch up a little bit now with all the unlearning I learned, amen. I went to a public school. But we need tests for policemen. You better hope he's physically fit. We need tests for firemen. Did you hear about the woman in New York City did not pass the fireman's test, but because she's a woman, they let her in the fire department. You hope to God that she didn't show up at your house when it's burning. She could not pass the physical test, but because she's a woman, they passed her. You know why? We're dumbing everybody down because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to prepare people for the inevitable. Do you realize the day before the Sabbath, Paraskeva is a Greek word. You know what Paraskeva means? Prepare. So the Jews had to prepare and get twice as much on Friday because they were not allowed to work on Saturday. Americans, are the most ill-prepared people on planet Earth. You think because we've had it so good for the last couple hundred years that your God, the government, is going to give you everything. And you think that welfare check and that food stamp and the disability and the unemployment and Social Security is always going to be there for you because that's your God. Well, I'm telling you, you ought to prepare for the worst. Just from my experience, I personally believe that more women are prepared than men. Because when women cook, they have everything ready to go. They're not in the middle of the cooking and say, you know what, I forgot something. I'm going to go to the store and go get it. Then they come back and they keep cooking. And then 2/3 of the way through, they say, you know, I forgot something else. I got to go to the store and get that too. They have a list of things that they either they're learning or they got it memorized of what they know they need. They're prepared. You know how many times a construction crew has to stop because they go to the store to get something? And the hours and the time they spend going to the store, walking through the store, stopping at Stewart's, getting their coffee, then coming back, hours are shot. Then the next day comes around and says, oh, I think I need something else. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Is this hitting home? See, a woman who knows how to bake, she gets everything lined up. She's not going to start if she doesn't have everything ready. You know, most men have a chip on their shoulders. They think they know it all.
Because they're too proud to sit down and, listen to me good, they're too proud to sit down and figure out what they need.
Yes, sir.
Especially life. So you want to blame, like Adam blamed Eve, you know, you want to blame your wife for all your problems. Yeah. When you come up short, and you're like Nabal that didn't want to listen to Abigail, you're going to end up like Nabal. That's why gardeners and farmers are better prepared for their lives than Bible-believing Christians who don't want to get their hands dirty in the dirt, in the earth. You don't know what it takes to prepare a garden because you've never done it. You think that's slave labor. You think that's dirty work. That, you know, your fingernail polish might come off, you know. Your manicure might get messed up a little bit there, you know. You just might get dirt between your fingernails that may stay there for 2 or 3 days. I've seen farmers that are better prepared for life than Bible students in colleges. I've met gardeners who are more prepared for life than people who are pretty boys, wear a shirt and ties, polish their shoes, and then flunk in life. Ask yourself, how much time do you spend wasting valuable time running back and forth to the store doing a project because you didn't sit down with a list? And there's some things, you know, especially when you're taking a part of a wall and you didn't see that and you didn't know. Sure, there's exceptions there. I understand. I've worked on stuff like that and I know that. But if it's a continual habit, there's a problem there. It should be the rare exception that the unforeseen calls for you to go somewhere to pick up something that you didn't plan for. I wonder where your tools are, men, right now. Where are all your tools? Scattered about and thrown about. Then you yell at your wife, hey, where's my tools at? Probably exactly where you left them.
Amen.
Then when you can't find it, the next time you need it, you know what you do? You go to a store. Spend your time. Spend your money. Buy another tool, just like the one you already have that you can't find. And then you accumulate 2, 3, or 4 of them, and you find them all at the same time when you don't need them. And then when the snow melts, you find when it's rusted in the garden, in the grass somewhere. You leave your tools outside in the dew in the morning. Instead of putting them in the shed, they all rust. You leave them in the garage scattered in the closet piled up high. But it's all your wife's fault, isn't it? Because you didn't think it was important to put all the tools away exactly where they're supposed to go. So when you need it the next time, you go. So it takes too much time on your part to prepare for the next time. So you lose valuable time. You lose valuable money. And the thing's ruined because we're unprepared. It's not rocket science. You just need to plan ahead and be prepared. That's why friend of mine I'm thinking of right now, I can't tell you his name. When you show up for an interview, you ought to dress the best you possibly can. Why would you want to dress in a way that a guy's never going to hire you unless you have an ulterior motive? You got to prepare for your interview. Usually when something goes wrong, it's usually because of little or no planning and little or no preparation. And that's why people marry the wrong person. And that's why they go to the wrong church. And that's why they buy the wrong house or the wrong car, live the wrong neighborhood. You better hope that my son-in-law makes guns good, because that thing will blow up if I pull the trigger, amen, if it's not right. I hope to God that he knows exactly, I don't know how to do this, but I hope to God he measures exactly the right kind of powder, amen, the right kind of level. Why? Because you have to be meticulously prepared and plan ahead if you want it to operate appropriately. You think these sermons I just thought up ad hoc? So I think somebody asked Mark Twain, he said something about his speaking off the cuff. You know what he said? And I don't got this perfect down, but he said something like this. He says, it takes me about 4 to 5 weeks to speak off the cuff. Hello? You ask the average fisher or hunter or trapper, he just doesn't decide to go out without being prepared, ladies and gentlemen. If he's a right kind of fishing man, right kind of hunter, or the trapper. Businesses plan ahead and prepare to sell products. And they stay in business because they're prepared. Most are unprepared for the coming collapse of society and the loss of liberty. People are unprepared for the police state that it is coming, not may come, is coming. You think people come up and sing specials? They have to practice, ladies. Young choirs have to practice. Church dinners. You ask Dee how much time she spends, and you ask the ladies how much time they spend with work and get everything prepared, just so you can just plop on your seat and eat that food in 20, 15, 5 minutes and not even say thank you for all the time that your wife spent cooking it, the ladies spent preparing it, but you just gobble it down. You don't even think about it. We live in a microwave society. So when your finances go bankrupt and you're in debt and you owe everything, you're going to blame everybody else on earth because you haven't prepared for your finances. You think you're going to retire because you're basing it on the government paying you. Are you planning? Are you working? Are you saving? Are you investing? I personally believe most of our health problems are self-induced. You want to smoke like a chimney? Puffing on that cigarette, cigar, chewing that tobacco, drinking your liquor and your alcohol and your beer and taking your drugs. Yeah. You wait and see. Galatians 6, 7, be not mocked. God is not deceived. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You have to be meticulous to eat right. People will make fun of you eat right. But what you intake, food and liquids, is going to show up in your body, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, Obamacare is going to take care of me, you know. The doctors care about me, you know. Universal health care is going to care about me. And you'll always have disability and always have unemployment. Sure, you keep believing those lies. Did you ever see when you go into the bank, it used to be called FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation maybe. Now it's called FDLIC. I want to forget what the L stands for now. That makes you think that your money in the bank is insured. Let me tell you something. The U.S. federal government has 12% money for all the money that's in the bank right now in America. Let me repeat that. There's only 12% enough money in the federal government right now to cover all the deposits, the trillions of dollars that are in bank deposits now. You think you're going to get all your money back when the country crashes? And you think that little sticker that says FDLIC is going to bring you all your money? You ought to go visit Poland or Cyprus and Greece and find out what happened to their money in the banks. But we've been deceived in not being self-prepared. Most people are planning and preparing to prematurely destroy the only body God's given you. In order to prepare for life, ladies and gentlemen, you need a daily prayer life with the Lord Jesus Christ in a prayer closet. You need a daily dose of reading the King James Bible, dear God, dear people. You need a word of God to be soaked into your mind, in your soul, in your body. And so all you think about, you need to memorize scripture verses. Your life ought to be wrapped down around a church ministry that cares for people, to see people saved and teaching the truth. Your life ought to be wrapped around helping other people instead of being self-centered. Your life ought to be centered around witnessing and sharing the gospel and being a soul winner. Your life ought to be consumed with your testimony and your influence with other people. Your manners and being gracious and being kind and being respectful and being courteous. Because setbacks are going to come when you least expect them. And disappointments and heartaches and devastations and ruins are going to come. Collapse is going to come. You ask any person in this room that's over 30 years of age, and they've got heartache after heartache, they can tell you of things that were unexpected in their life, and most of us were not prepared for it. We just assumed and thought everything would be okay. And then there's going to be desertions and forsaking and mocking and ridicule. You'll be hurt from the unexpected and the unforeseen. And the bad news that you'll receive. Learn to be forgiving. Learn to be merciful. Learn to be patient. Wars are not won without a plan, ladies and gentlemen. There can be no peace if there's no victory. Do you realize George Washington lost his first battle? Camp, a fort on the border of Pennsylvania. Fort Necessity, I think it is. The only genuine peace treaty is one when one side totally surrenders. And you will never have peace, listen to me good, unless you totally surrender to God Almighty. You're going to have a battle with God for the rest of your life because you don't want to submit to God and obey God and see what God says. And you'll be unprepared for what the devil has for you coming. Unless you surrender to God, you will not have the peace that passeth understanding. A general, a leader, has plans laid out for all kinds of scenarios ready to go at a moment's notice. When the alarm is sounded, he doesn't sit down at his desk at that point and say, now what should I do? He's got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 battle plans all set for whatever scenario or whatever time. But yet, we go through life, spiritual battle, unprepared. Foolish, lazy, ignorant people will laugh and mock and scorn people who are busy preparing, like Noah was a preparing the ark. He was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says. But for over 100 years, while he was preaching righteousness, people were laughing at him and mocking at him. So while he was preaching, he was preparing. Hey, you can preach the gospel and still prepare, ladies and gentlemen. Most will never know how much you overprepared when things go according to plan. But everyone will know that you did not take the time to plan and prepare when things do not go right. Practice makes perfect, you heard. You heard about the shooting in Garland, Texas a few weeks ago. Remember? Those devout Muslims that want to chop your head off drove from Arizona to Garland, Texas with body armor and automatic rifles or whatever. I don't remember what they were, semi-automatic, to do bodily harm and kill people. The only difference is those two police officers, that one police officer in Garland, Texas, was more prepared than those nuts. Yes, sir. He went to the range and practiced. They were as unprepared as you can get, man, like Keystone Cops. High-powered ammunition, high-powered equipment, body armor. But this guy knew exactly where to shoot to kill him. And you better thank God that guy was prepared, ladies and gentlemen. Because it would have been a lot worse if that man was not prepared. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? Because sin will deceive you. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Take to Exodus chapter number 9, please. Exodus 9. Are you prepared? Second book in the Old Testament. You can never be overprepared, ladies and gentlemen, because you don't know what's coming. Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared to meet God? You're going to meet him. You're not getting out of the meeting. You're going to be there. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Everything you've done in your body, you're going to give an account. Good or bad. Exodus chapter number 9, verse number 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Well, you know what happened, don't you? The Jews that were prepared had all their stuff spared. But the Egyptians that didn't believe the word of God and didn't have any regard for the things of God, they said, we're not going to do that. And all of them were killed. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter number 10, verse number 24. Do you have regard for the word of God this morning? When they wanted to go out to serve God, to worship God and sacrifice to God, Pharaoh didn't want them to take him everything. He said, no, just the men go. I want everybody else to stay. Here's what they said. Verse 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye and serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Keep all the animals here, but you can go in the wilderness and sacrifice to God. Verse 25, watch this. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. Moses said, I don't know what I'm going to need. We're taking everything with us. I think you ought to be neat and organized and orderly. But you know what? You know who's going to survive more than the people who are neat and orderly? The junkyard people. To you, it looks like a nuisance. All that junk. My property value is going down. A fellow who runs a junkyard, he knows how to survive. He's got everything he needs. He knows everything. Farmers, they know how to survive. City people are addicted to government. You need a bus. You need a taxi. You need a street light. You need electricity. You need power. And so, we don't know how to live and survive when the untoward happens. You know, we don't think about this, but when's the last time you thanked the maintenance men for the things in the building that don't go wrong? Do you know how often they're here during the week fixing things, repairing things, just so nothing goes wrong? But you don't think about it because nothing usually goes wrong. But it takes hours and hours every week to make sure nothing goes wrong. You see, when you don't have a list, you don't have a plan, out of sight, out of mind. You need to sit down and write things that you need to accomplish and things that need to be done. Very, very few people have the memory that can remember everything that you ought to remember. I know I can't. I need to write it down. I tell my wife, have a list with you and just keep adding to the list whenever I say I need something. And then look at the list, because I'm going to forget. One of the most important things you'll do in your life is write down the things that you'll need. Don't you do that with shopping? You should never go shopping on an empty stomach, because you'll buy everything. It looks like some of you do that. What you do is you go to shopping when you're just eating. After you've just eaten and your stomach is full, go shopping with that list. And when you're full, you say, well, no, I don't think I really need that. But when you're hungry, you want to grab everything. If you're not prepared, you're going to get the wrong stuff and too much stuff that you don't need. Are you ready for death? Ecclesiastes 7, we'll close with this. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Are you ready for death? I know it's not very popular, but do you think you're going to die one day? Do you think you're going to take your last breath one day? Do you think you're going to close your eyes for the last time one day? Don't you think the most important thing is to be prepared for death? So I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. You know what? You're a very unprepared person. That just shows a lack of preparation on your part. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. This is what God says, verse number 1 through 5. A good name is better than precious ointment. In the day of death, in the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. See, we'd rather go feasting and laughing and dancing. But God says it's better to go to the house of mourning, like going to a funeral parlor. That's what God says. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. See, sober-minded people understand. I took all my children to every single funeral I ever went to when they were young. I don't care how old they were. Toddlers, babies, teenagers, I took them all. I don't care what age they were. I wanted them to see that's what happens at the end. We all die. I wanted that to be impressed in their minds at every single age, every single stage of life. That's going to happen one day. Be ready for it. God says in verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Kind of opposite of what we want, well. We want a comedian to make us laugh. You know, you want to see the videos on YouTube and make laugh. I do that too. I watch them. But I'd rather hear hard old-fashioned preaching to get me ready for life. Hey, if you can't take 3 months of boot camp, man, you're not going to be a Marine. You know how many people have been weeded out because they don't want to go to Marine Corps? They just can't take it. It's just too tough. And then they get dropped out during boot camp. I'm not against those people, but I want those standards to be just as hard as they were when I was in the service 30 years ago. Because when I hear that our boys are being sent somewhere, I want them to be the best fighting, well-equipped unit they can possibly be. I don't like having casualties in life. You don't want to be a casualty in life. Everything in life is important. You better prepare and plan for it. The littlest things that you think are not that important are more important than you think. Have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Have you asked Jesus to save your soul from hell? I'm going to close with this quote from Benjamin Franklin. Probably, I think, one of the most important quotes of life itself. For the want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For the want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For the want of a horse, the rider was lost. For the want of a rider, the battle was lost. For the want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. And all for the want of a horseshoe nail. Are you prepared? Those little things that you just discount are probably going to be more important in the long run than you ever thought. Are you prepared to meet God? God says, prepare to meet thy God. Because one day you will meet the God of this book. I don't care what any preacher, philosopher, Bible college has ever told you. You're going to be before the God of this book and all of this book. Let's all stand.